This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You know you're doing the show you want, Dorm, when you've got people tweeting you names of 90s cartoons and also cities in Alaska.
Yep. That's What's another one?
Here, give me one second here. You can tweet us as well. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Gnome.
Oh. Okay.
N-O-M-E, not the silent G like the lawn gnomes.
Gnome.
Yeah. Kelowna. People are writing.
What is it?
Kelowna. K-E-L-O-W-N-A. All right, let's get back into the draft with our guy, Chris Carter of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also the Locked On Steelers podcast. Chris, before the last 30 seconds of your life, would you have been able to name a third city in Alaska behind Juneau and Anchorage?
Nope, that was my two.
That's it.
The capital and the city that everyone talks about when they talk about Alaska. That was it.
Do you know which one's the capital?
Juneau.
Oh, he threw like a tilde on there.
Juneau.
Is it Juneau or is it Juno? I don't know.
Juneau. Actually, I don't know that. I was just saying that because I knew the answer to that one. Listen, Adam, you texted me beforehand. I used to know all the state capitals because my dad was a music teacher and he made me listen to the Animaniacs States and Capitals song. And that was the way how I learned all of the capitals. But I haven't done that song in probably 10 years. So, it would take some practice to get him back.
10 years? Some college frat party just spouting off state capitals?
You know, sometimes you go to the old man's house and he's like, hey, I bet you can't do the song anymore. And I was to be like, oh, I could do it. I could do it. I could never do the countries one. That's the one I will never be able to do because there's just way too many countries in the world. But the state capitals, I used to go 50 for 50. Now I'd say I'd probably go like 30 for 50.
That's what I did.
On a good day.
I was 29 for 50 last night. My kids were quizzing me.
You use like Sporkle or something?
They just know it because that you get taught it like it's the most important thing in the world. But I don't know how important it really is. But maybe I'm just a dumbass. All right, Chris. So you've got Ryan Clark saying that if Shedeur Sanders falls past the Saints at number 9, that the Steelers should sell the farm to go up and get that guy. Do you think that's good business? Is it good business to draft Shedeur Sanders if he's sitting there at 21?
It's better business to draft him at 21 than it is to trade up for him. I don't see Shedeur Sanders as the definite franchise quarterback that you should sell out on. He has tools that could make him that. He's a really good precision passer. He's a really good pocket passer. He has demeanor on him that you like. But there's several of his tools that I just like, he's not extremely fast. He's not like a taller quarterback. He would need to put a lot of things together consistently, and he would need to become an elite processor of the field against NFL talent, be able to handle pressure better than he did in college, because he's going to face collapsing pockets. He's going to face, you know, better talent. He's going to face tighter passing windows, and he doesn't have elite arm strength to fit in consistently the ropes that you need to sometimes when you're throwing just a straight dart, 15, 20 yards downfield. So maybe he has that in him. I think that it would be, I would not bet on that with a first round pick when next year seems to be their year to go for a quarterback with the guys that are lining up to be in that class and the comp picks that they look like they might be able to get based off the players they lost in free agency this year. I think this year, especially with the skill players or the position players that you can get at 21 naturally this year that I think will fall to them, it would make more sense to take one of those guys than Shedeur Sanders. Look, if he falls to 21 and someone, like, I think the bigger question might be, does someone want to trade up for him behind you that's thinking like, oh, no, that's our guy, then maybe you broach that conversation. But I think I'd be running to the podium for Kenneth Grant before I run to the podium for Shedeur Sanders.
Chris, what's your take on the TJ Watt Instagram picture? Obviously, he was posted a picture yesterday throwing up a peace sign. We'll get that question from you. And then, like, if they were in some other realm to be in a position to trade TJ Watt, what do you think that they could fetch for him?
What they could fetch for him, I think that a team might offer a first and a third, if that. Some people have said just a third. But to me, if I'm the Steelers, I did this exercise with Alan Saunders earlier in the week on Locked On Steelers. But, like, we were talking about this, and if the Steelers, if you were to look back over every first overall pick dating back to 2010, like, there'd be two of them that you could say were definitively or even solidly better than TJ Watt. Joe Burrow and maybe like Cam Newton. But like outside of Myles Garrett, you look through all those first round picks from Jameis Winston to Jalon Walker. There's just player after player after player. Even first overall picks aren't as good as TJ Watt. And I look at that list and I just think, man, would two first round picks be enough? Even when first overall picks aren't as good as that guy, unless you're just that committed to the idea that he is going to fall off, that he is just never going to be elite again, and that this is the start of his decline into just being a good but not great player, then maybe I could see that. But I don't think that that's the case. A lot of people thought that about Cam Hayward last year, and he certainly proved them wrong. I think that the picture, honestly, I think TJ Watt was like probably with some buddies and was just like, hey guys, want to watch what I can do Steelers Twitter today, and just posted that on Instagram, and everyone's like, oh my God. Look, JJ Watt has come out on the Pat McAfee show and been like, hey, you should pay players before their last year of their contract, because then there's consequences when you don't. That was not a random statement. That was definitely referencing TJ. So I think what's happening is the Steelers' price that they thought they were going to be able to offer him is going to have to be higher because of Myles Garrett's contract. But I think the Steelers are going to be fine with paying that. I think they're going to pony up. They're going to be like, hey, TJ Watt's our guy. We're keeping him around. I think it's going to be around that $40 million range. I think that they're going to go for that.
That's exactly what I was going to get into. The Steelers clearly want to keep him. Art Rooney II has said that. Omar Khan has said that. One helmet guy is the phrase that they use. Seems like it's pretty easy business then. You want to keep him. You're going to pay him more than Myles Garrett. It just kind of now depends on when that's going to happen. All right, back to the draft here, Chris. If these four players are available, okay, 21st overall, screw it, I'll make it five. If these five players are available, 21st overall, who should the Steelers take, and who's your best guess at who they would take?
Okay.
Derek Harmon, Oregon.
Okay.
Kenneth Grant, Michigan. Amarian Hampton, UNC. Emeka Abuka, Ohio State. Shedeur Sanders, Colorado.
Who should they take? Kenneth Grant. Who will they take? I would say Kenneth Grant. I think from what I've heard, they really like him at Michigan. I think that he's a really talented player. And I think that he fits what they really want. This team really needs, like, if you think back to, you know, all the losses this team had, you know, going into the 2020s, Stephon too, it still ranks high up there because they have not found a dominant defensive tackle to play at the level that he did. And you think about the last time this defense was elite, like top 3 in the league. It was when they had Stephon Tuitt next to Cam Hayward, and they had a full defense that they were, that was built around that. Since then, they've had Larry Ogunjobi. They've had a young Keanu Benton. They haven't had that dominant presence next to him, and that's led to, I think, that when the middle of your defensive line isn't elite and shutting things down, it causes complications everywhere else. I think that they recognize that. I think that Andy Weidel's been talking about building the trenches. Kenneth Grant's that guy. I'm just not a Shedeur Sanders in the first round guy. If they traded up in the second to get him back in the second round from their third round pick, or he was at the third round pick, then I'd be like, oh yeah, absolutely. That's more of a fit. But first round, I don't see it there. Of all the players that you named there, Kenneth Grant in my top 100 list, which will be published, I think, soon in the Post Gazette. Kenneth Grant would break the highest. He's my 12th overall guy. Derek Harmon, I have at 15 there. You mentioned Omarion Hampton. He's 26 for me. And then Shedeur Sanders is like in the 40s because I just don't think that he
got a big
ranks
board.
As high as the other guys.
You got a big
yeah.
board.
Yeah, big board.
Do you have like yes, an sir. Actual big board in your bedroom?
No, it's just a Google sheet. I'm not that fancy.
Okay, very good.
What about, so say they do take Kenneth Grant. I do believe, and I think a lot of us believe, that the Steelers still will pick a quarterback in the middle rounds. Kyle McCordis is coming on a visit next week to Pittsburgh. What do you think about Kyle McCord? We do know what he did against the Pitt Panthers, but would you be okay with that pick in the middle rounds if it was Kyle McCord?
I would think that I have Kyle McCord below like Will Howard. And you know, in my rankings, like I think Will Howard's the perfect fit for what they do, but I think Kyle McCord would be fine in the fifth round. Like if you get through the fourth round and you've addressed D tackle, running back, and like safety, cornerback, wide receiver, you know, or like, you know, another offensive tackle pick in the fourth round, you got in those positions and you're like, okay, we're running out of space to get our quarterback. Kyle McCord, I think, is a good last. He's on the back end of those middle round quarterbacks or those mid to late round quarterbacks that I think could be solid backups for their career. And so I think that Kyle McCord's a fine pick in the fourth or the fifth rounds. If he's there in the sixth round, I think that's actually a kind of a steal. But I like Kyle McCord. Even, like you said, I was there. I covered the Pitt game when he was just utterly slaughtered by that defense and just 3 pick 6s. I couldn't believe that day. But if you look throughout his season, he bounced back very well that, you know, that year. If you take away that game, he had that game kind of stopped him from having a really, really sharp year when you look at his touchdown to interception ratio. So I wouldn't be mad at Kyle McCord. No, but again, fourth or fifth round, third round, I'm still looking at running backs. And if you look at the Steelers' top 30 visits, they are looking very hard at the middle rounds of these running back classes.
There's a Fairbanks, Alaska. You guys know that?
Oh,
no. I just know it's always dark there.
And always light. Depends on the time of year.
Oh,
you might get 24 hours of straight sunlight.
And then it's reversed.
What would be better? 24 hours of straight sunlight or 24 hours of
sunlight?
Total darkness.
Sunlight.
Sunlight, absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd be tough to regulate your body clock in either instance.
You could, your blinds and stuff. Like
you have to get the blackout blinds.
Yeah.
You definitely have to get the blackout
blinds. I
don't
want it to be dark all the time. I move.
I have blackout blinds right here.
You sleep like a baby. I could tell.
Oh, absolutely. There was one time when I was in college, my friend Naomi was my RA. Someone accidentally pulled the fire alarm or it went off for some reason. And they didn't know it wasn't a drill. Like they thought there might be a fire. She woke me up by slapping me in the face. And she was like, get up. There's a fire. And I was like, why are you slapping me? And there was a whole fire alarm and I was sleeping through it at the time. So like, if there was a fire and she hadn't done that, I would have died.
See,
so,
I think that's a burnt up. I would have died. I think that's a good quality though. Like being able to sleep like a rock. Do you sleep on planes?
Oh yes. I can sleep anywhere. Like my fiance will tell you, she's like, there was a whole baby crying and you just did not care.
A
and
whole
I was
baby.
Like, yeah. It was just like, I will sleep. I've slept standing up. I've slept sitting up in a chair. I've slept
standing up.
Listen, man.
Like you're that dude from Rat Race.
Yeah. Like yeah, Mr. Give me a wall. Like I can't sleep on my own power, but like if you give me a wall to lean on, I will just fall back on it. And like, if I have not slept in a while, which, you know, sometimes reporter life be like that. There's days where I'll just fall asleep against the wall and that'll just be it.
What? Like a cowboy.
Chris, you're the man. We appreciate you joining us today. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good weekend.
What a guy.
Thanks, Chris.
You just fall asleep standing up.
Standing up.
That's what cows do.
Yeah.
And horses, I think.
Remember the cowboys, they would put that one foot up and then they dip their hat down and just fall asleep on the wall, on the brick wall.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's
Now it's gone too far. When you got a whole ass baby crying and you're not waking up, that's fine. That's great. Unless you have kids, then it's a problem.
Right, but you can't fall asleep standing up.
That might be a condition. I hope we've unearthed something for Chris. He needs to go see a doctor. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say, there is never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll react to what Chris had to say when we come back. We've got Noah Hiles talking Bucks and Reds at the bottom of the hour. We will
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
We'll react to some of what Chris Carter had to say coming up in a minute. This Augusta update brought to you by True Green, the official lawn care provider of the PGA Tour. So Rory's two bogeys, double bogeys down the stretch. One of the big stories of yesterday, of course, Justin Rose, the leader, and then Scottie Scheffler, three strokes back, but in striking distance. The other viral story to come out of the Masters is a fashion critique, Doran. Did you see this?
No.
So Jose Luis Ballester is an amateur, and yes, he was paired with Scottie Scheffler.
Uh-huh.
And he was wearing one of those upside down caps.
Oh.
Where it said Sun Devils. He's an Arizona State guy. He's got the Sun Devils on the front, and it's an upside-down cap.
I have that Panthers one. That
I know, yeah. And our guy Archie, Mike Manning, down at Archie's, gave me a West Virginia one that says Morgantown.
Oh, really?
When we were watching the NCAA tournament.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
I think they're sick.
Me too.
I don't quite get it, but I think they look cool.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's it. Maybe that's all it is they're just supposed to look cool.
Yeah, I think so.
They're just different.
Right.
Isn't that a company of someone we know?
Yeah, Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci.
Yeah.
Former Pitt quarterback, yes. JMU quarterback, Dallas yes. Cowboys quarterback.
Yes.
Ben DiNucci. This guy got dragged on social media, dude. I'm looking at a whole bunch of tweets. I might be an old head, but Jose Luis Ballester showing up to his first Masters with an upside down hat is insane behavior. As if it's disrespecting the game. As if it's disrespecting the hallowed grounds of Augusta National. Here's another one. I don't know who you are, but you have already lost wearing this hat. Egregious. Wait, knock him off the tour.
Is he still in college? Does he go to Arizona State?
I think so, yeah, because he's an amateur.
Okay. So, I mean, there's NIL in every sport. So what if he has an NIL deal with DiNucci to wear that hat?
Even if he does it, it's just a hat. Why are we getting all up in arms?
You know how golf is. They're
clutching
so
our
uppity.
Pearls. I hate that, though.
I mean, you know, why can't they wear shorts? Who cares?
I agree with that. They should totally be able to wear shorts.
I mean, that's just the sport.
You must respect the game. It's a hat. It's not like it says boobs on it.
Yeah, but I understand. Like, I'm old school. Like, I mean, if you're an amateur and you're playing with the world's best, and it's your first Masters, like, I want to be as buttoned up as possible and respect the game as much as possible. And if I thought a little bit that something would be frowned upon, I wouldn't do it because I want to make a good impression. That's just how I am. Like, I wouldn't, like, if that was my son, I'd be like, no, you're not wearing that hat.
Really?
Yeah. I'd be like, you're going to dress like every other golfer.
See, I just don't see how it disrespects the game. Upside down Sun Devil.
Because it's different. And they don't want different.
What if it was right side up Sun Devils? John Daly can smoke cigarettes and wear whatever the hell he wants. Some of these guys look goofy as hell.
Because Sergio, John Daly won.
I know, but Sergio Garcia, you know, he's out there draped pretty much in the Spanish flag. And
they won.
Okay.
What was he doing his first whenever he was an amateur? I bet you wasn't doing that.
Can't remember that far ago. It's a hat, damn it. I think it's lame.
There's a way of doing things. We're all about respecting the games, right? Respecting football. You're not about respecting the sport?
Yes, but I would just disagree that wearing an upside down Sun Devils is disrespect. It's a hat. Well, you're going around, you know, not filling his divots.
I mean.
Or driving a golf cart on the green.
I mean.
Or taking a dump like Bob Pompeiani has said that he's done on a golf course and he can't get back to the clubhouse in time. It's not like he's all drunk off of transfusions at the turn.
Nobody else is wearing it. And if everybody else...
People look absurd too.
Okay, but they are established. This kid isn't established yet.
It's a hat.
I understand.
I thought you'd be decidedly in my camp.
No.
Like, here's another a tweet. This is just absurd.
Disrespect.
This is insane. This person needs to be locked up. Marty, 5198 tweets. One of the worst fits in Masters history. Okay, that's debatable. That's fine. But he said, I gasped when I saw him on the broadcast. You gasped? You gasped, you friggin' loser.
Oh, my God. His hat. The words are upside down.
I don't know why I use that voice.
I could see if it was another different tournament, but the Masters is obviously historic, and it's one of the main things. I don't know if you want to go that route. I wouldn't. So
we're all talking about him today. I don't even know what he shot.
I think he's like +3 or something.
Oh. Still can't get over Ballester's choice of the hat this morning. The amateur out of ASU is grouped with the best player in the world, and he opts for upside-down Sun Devil's lid all time.
I mean, Neil Shipley didn't do that.
No, he was just asking for Tiger's autograph.
He didn't.
No, that was refuted. We had him on. We should call him up and see if he's got a problem with the hat. You think Bostic? You think Bostic's got a problem with the hat?
Yes. Well, 1,000,000%. I mean, if I'm old school, he's ancient.
Yeah, Pat's old. And yeah, he's an old soul.
He's ancient.
You're an older soul than I thought you were.
Oh, yeah. I'm not. I'm about respecting the game. And then whenever you get in, and if you're good enough, then you can kind of do what you want. That's fine.
If you're in, to me, you're good enough and you can do what you want. Bang!
He's not in yet, though.
Upside down. He qualified.
He's not a professional.
He's there.
He's not a professional.
I know. And Neil Shipley walking around with his long hair. Oh, geez, disrespect. Got a long haircut. Like the Yankee. You got to respect the Yankees. You got to shave. No, I want this guy to show up with his pants on as his shirt and his shirt on as his pants today.
Interested to see what he wears today.
Oh, dude!
What if he comes back with it?
If he switches, I'm gonna totally lose my mind on this guy. Like for something that nobody should really care about,
right?
Like I will absolutely crush him if he comes out and was swayed by the court of public opinion.
Probably will be.
If you're gonna be you, be you. I bet you're right though. I bet you're right. The other sickos out there, the ones who always, he'll be watching on TV, then they'll report like scorecard errors. Like, F you, dorks. You got nothing better to do. I haven't looked at the text line yet, so I will soon to see if people agree with you or if they agree with me. We do have NFL breaking news. Joe Flacco signing a one-year, $4 million deal, Doran, with the Cleveland Brownies. So he's going back.
You're telling me that the Cleveland Browns have two former Pitt quarterbacks? That's amazing.
Flacco's not a Pitt quarterback.
Yes, he is.
When he's on the team.
He committed to Pitt out of high school.
When he, yeah, so did, what's his
then
face?
Then he transferred.
So did Jordan Addison.
Yeah, and he says Pitt, USC whenever he's on his Monday Night Football.
Well, he should. He won the Biletnikoff.
There's two former Pitt quarterbacks. Wow.
Wow.
Look at that.
I don't think Flacco says Pitt.
He doesn't, but he,
no,
but,
you can't,
but he
why
went
would
to Pitt.
You claim Flacco?
I don't.
Palco beat his ass out.
I don't claim.
It was Palco, right? I think it was.
I don't claim Flacco, but he went to Pitt.
He so did.
He's a former Pitt quarterback.
I spent more time on campus in Oakland than Flacco did.
No.
Yeah, huh?
No.
At the O?
No.
G-Door?
No.
Bootleggers?
No.
All right, coming up next, we've gone late with upside down hat talk and is Flacco a Pitt quarterback talk. We got Noah Hiles joining us next. Look it, we haven't talked Pirates at all today, so figured we'd talk to our guy Noah Hiles from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, get a little Bucco talk in. But listen, just being real with the folks out there, being real with you too, Noah, I mean, the Buccos are getting pushed further and further down the pecking order here, because I said in the last segment, while I was impassionately defending Jose Luis Ballester, the amateur who was wearing the upside-down Sun Devils hat at the Masters, that it's not like he went potty on the course or anything. I have been corrected, and I was ignorant to this. He did, in fact, go pee-pee at Augusta National, Doran. Shortly after notching a birdie on the 12th hole, there were restrooms to the left of the 13th hole tee box. He missed them and went in the tributary to nearby Ray's Creek to urinate while Justin Thomas was still on the 12th green. He peed. And then he said, I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since Thomas had an issue on the green, I'm like, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably people would not see me that much. And then they clapped for me. Probably one of the claps that I really got today real loud. So that was kind of funny. And then he went on to say it was not embarrassing at all for me. If I had to do it again, I would do it again.
Wow.
He peed. I got no problem with it. This guy is the everyman. I love this human being. He's wearing what he wants. He's peeing where he wants. That's what I do when I golf. It's what Pomp does. And if Pomp does it, it's okay by me. Guy's a legend. You don't like the pee thing?
No. Noah, do you like the pee thing? You think this guy's disrespecting the game?
I probably wouldn't have done that at Augusta National.
No. Right.
This is me talking, right? That is what everyone to know. This isn't Noah saying this, certainly not Dorn. I was at a crew race at Occoquan. And right before the race started, we had our boat in position. I mean, we're probably moments from starting the race. I had to go. I stood up off the side of the boat and took a leak.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pro.
It's not Augusta National.
It's not Augusta National. Exactly, Noah.
Oh, but I'm Adam
it's
Crowley.
It's not the Masters.
You're telling me if you had to go, you ain't going.
I'm going to the bathroom.
You ain't ever peed on a golf course?
Yeah.
They have an app that literally follows every single golfer in this tournament.
That's right.
Like, you're on camera 24/7.
Yeah.
So, no, I wouldn't do that.
I'm guessing.
I mean, if you're like a top five player in the world, then it's funny. It's kind of like the Bull
See,
Durham
this
thing.
Is, yes. I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, if you have fungus on your flip-flops and you're a 20-game winner, you're colorful, you have character. If you do it in the minor leagues, you're a slob. So, same thing goes for peeing at the Masters, I guess.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. It has anything to do with your accomplishments. I either think you respect it or you don't respect it. And for me, I like the irreverence of this guy. Dude's a household name. This guy's my hero. I want to get him on the show. I want to talk to this guy next week, Doran. I want to talk to Jose Luis Ballester. The world is his oyster. His name is his virtue. Mm-hmm. My man's got no rules. All right, one more thing before we get into the Bucco baseball with Noah Hiles. Someone said not to be racist, but why is the white guy dancing on the video stream during the break? I think that would be me.
You were dancing?
I'm always dancing.
Oh.
is probably one of those Goodfeet commercials. 60 seconds of their jingle where they pretty much like, yeah, you got the room for an hour. Why don't you cut yourself a single?
Yeah, I'd be dancing the Top Dog, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I did not. Mm-hmm. All right, no, the Buccos win their first series of the season, and now they're going up against a Cincinnati team that also cannot hit. Bailey Falter on the mound today. Is there any reason to believe that the Pirates' offense can turn it around and become average this year?
If there is a reason, that reason is health.
Yeah.
I think once the team gets a little healthier and you see Kutch and Reynolds in the lineup every day together, once you see Spencer Horowitz back, I don't know what you're going to get from him, but I think he can be a better leadoff hitter than what they've got from the top of the order without him there. And once you get Nick Gonzalez back, I mean, those are just big league hitters. Those are average big league hitters
right.
on a bad day. And they have potential to be above average. That's what's missing from this lineup right now. There are a couple of guys who are putting together good at bats, but when you have guys who simply put just aren't average major league hitters in your lineup, 2, 3, 4 of them every game, it makes it easier to attack an entire lineup because you know who to pitch to and who not to pitch to. So O'Neal Cruz isn't seeing a ton of stuff in the strike zone. Brian Reynolds isn't seeing a ton of stuff in the strike zone. So I think once they get a more complete lineup, they have a better chance. But I mean, this has been the criticism for this team all year, all offseason, all spring, and now 2 weeks into the regular season. The main criticism was the offense isn't good enough. They needed to do more. They needed to bring in more bats, and they didn't. And this is what happens.
No, I asked Jeff Hathorne this yesterday. Can you explain to me why that you have Jack Sawinski leading off? He is awful right now. He's awful. He's been awful. I think his last home run was what, last July or last June? Why would you have a guy like that who has probably the, I think he has the lowest average on the team, batting average on the team, leading off?
Because he sees a lot of pitches. If there's one thing about Jack Sawinski, it's he's going to watch a lot of pitches. Some of those pitches will be called strike three, but I mean, he's going to watch a lot. And I mean, he did draw, I think he drew two walks
two.
On Wednesday.
Yep.
I know the top spot of the order drew three, but I believe one was Canario after he was subbed in. But yeah, I don't love that either. I thought it looked fine in spring training when they were doing it, but it seems not to be working. And if I were to go with the left-hander right now at the top of the order, I would rather see O'Neal Cruz personally than Sawinski, simply because Jack has an approach that could work, but if he's not able to get on base more frequently, if he's not matching the walks to strikeouts, if he's not turning some of those nice barrels that he has into actual base hits, then it's just not working.
Should we be worried about the dip in velocity for Paul Skeens? I know it's only been three starts. One of those games, it was 35 degrees or less, but he was throwing 98.8 miles an hour last year. It's 98 flat this year, and we have not seen him hit triple digits yet. So is this a big deal, not a big deal, something to keep an eye on?
No, I don't think it's a big deal at all. I think his – one, I think it has something to do with the weather, especially this last start. Most guys just don't throw as fast in April in general too because they're not completely stretched out. And I think another part of it is he's really trying to work on efficiency. That's like his primary goal for this year is to go deeper into ball games. And if that means taking a little bit off the fastball to get it in a more precise location where it can get a first pitch out or, you know, some soft contact early in a count, then that's what he's going to do. So I think that probably explains it a little bit more. Now, if we see the velo dip down to like 96 on average, then that's a concern. I'm not worried about his average fastball velo dropping less than 1 mile per hour in the first three starts of a season.
Noah, you texted me and said, not only do you have a great ability to know every single state capital, but that it actually saved your life or helped you out of a pinch? What happened here?
So when I was 12, I broke two windows in my house in a span of like 10 days. playing baseball in my backyard. We had like a garage connected to our house, and I hit a ball on one day through the first pane of the window, and then like 4 days later, same one, second window, just destroyed it. My dad, I don't think he planned on talking to me that entire summer. He was like so mad at me. And then one day after a Little League game, the rule was basically I was just on punishment the whole summer. Like I was doing chores. I was doing anything I could to make up for this broken window. And then one day after a Little League game, I don't know how it came up, but we started talking states and capitals. And he was confident that the capital of Arizona was Flagstaff. And I was like, that's just not correct. And so like it got into like a heated argument in the car ride home. And I was like, I'll bet you anything. And he goes, name your bet. And I was like, if this is correct, you can't bring up the window ever again.
Oh, man.
You can't bring it up once. I'm like, I'm off the hook. We're even. And he was like, you know what? I think he was in a good mood because like I had a good game that day or something. And we went home. This is like before you could like look it up on right. your cell phone. So like we went home, got on the computer, and sure enough, it was Phoenix. And I was dancing. Like I was going full Crowley during a break, just dancing, having a good time.
You got over on him.
Got me out of it. He's never brought up the window since.
That is outstanding.
Like 18 years.
Wow. Wow.
I thought it was Flagstaff.
Did you really?
No. Maybe. World will never know. Noah, this was wonderful. We didn't talk that much baseball, but we had fun nonetheless. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Take Noah. Care. Love that guy. Noah Hiles. Love the other guy, Jason Mackey. He's walked into the studio. He'll join us until the end of the show. We'll hit on everything, including my new hero, Jose Luis Ballester, who pees on the course and wears upside-down font on his hats. All right, so my hero, Jose Luis Ballester, peed on the golf course. Peed in a tributary, I guess, adjacent to the golf course. He's also wearing upside-down Arizona State font on his hat. People are aghast. Here's a text. In a second, actually. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Adam, I'm 100% with you. If you got to pee, you got to pee. Do you think Olympic people, the swimmers, get out of the Olympic pool? Or do you think they urinate in the pool? Oh, they're absolutely peeing in the pool. Absolutely. 100%.
Olympic swimmers?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No, they pee before they get in. They pee before their races.
What? It could be part of your ritual to go in the pool before you push off.
Doubt it.
What?
I love this guy. I love him. I genuflect at the altar of sports. And then you got Mackie walking in here saying he makes everybody wear pants at the press box at Pirate Games. They wear long pants. Khakis.
I made Hiles wear pants. I told him, I said, we wear pants.
We wear pants.
It's a bit of a me policy, and that's fine. Baseball writers, some wear shorts, some wear pants. To each their own. We all wear something below the waist. All right. I believe in wearing pants.
No one thinks you're like Daffy Duck walking around the press box.
I don't know. I'm just saying. And I have always worn pants. A lot of the national writers, everybody else wears pants. I stick to pants. And I told Noah, we wear pants.
And that's because of respect of the game, right?
That's my belief, yes. Yeah.
Respect the game.
Respect the game. It ain't a person. I mean, it does.
And you see people around baseball, like anybody who works for the team, it can be 95 degrees, they're wearing pants.
I'm sure
the way I see it, I'm going to wear pants too.
I'm sure Tim Kirkjian wears pants, and he's one of my all-time favorites.
He does.
You talk about a guy that knows the history of the game better than just about anybody else and respects the game. He would not be a lesser writer if he was walking around wearing a Speedo.
I understand that, but there's nothing that makes me, like I look at Peter Gammons or Kirkjian or Buster Olney or any of these guys, like if they can wear pants, I can wear pants. I'm not special.
What if they just have varicose veins?
What?
What if they just have ugly looking legs? What if you
got
wrong the whole time? I'm just saying, what if that's why they're wearing pants?
They're not. They're wearing pants because that's what you do in baseball. That's what that's the culture. That's the thing that writers do.
Yep. Coaches, they all wear pants.
Yeah.
That's lame.
You can think it's lame, and that's fine. You can have your own opinion, and what you do isn't really any of my business. But
He's
I'm saying
right.
what
you
I
got
do.
Him riled up over here.
You didn't get me riled up.
You said you hate. Up. Do you hate the Yankees policy is gone now? The shaving one.
No, I think that's kind of dumb.
Respecting the Yankees.
No, it's not. I'm
respecting the franchise.
It'd be different if everybody in baseball did that. Okay,
right. It's a Yankees policy, and it's kind of dumb. Like I don't feel like it's my job to tell you how you look.
Yeah.
Doran, how you look. Like, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's something that is league-wide, then you can, I feel like, levy some opinion on it. But it's not my job to say what your facial hair looks like or what your, you know, how you want to, I don't know, how you want to dress to a degree.
I'm showing up in a
kilt. It is weird, though. It is gray. I get that.
Next time I cover a Pirates game in an official capacity, I'm wearing a kilt. Walk right in with a kilt.
I just got a bad mental picture. I'll be back.
I mean.
Just blaring bagpipes, announcing my presence to all.
So you just don't want to follow, like, rules, like, respected rules.
I think there are certain things you do and certain things you don't do. And
look, I don't have a problem with Ballister. Mm-hmm. I'm very much with Doran that you've got to earn that. You win, you can wear a upside down hat.
Yeah.
You win, you can pee within reason.
You're
where you
also disrespecting the best player in golf that you're golfing next to.
Yes. Yes.
For peeing?
No, by wearing that hat. Like, if, like, Scotty, he's playing next to Scotty Scheffler. Like, don't you want to have a good impression?
Yeah, I'm not sure why wearing a hat with upside down font would make a bad impression. That's where I'm lost.
Because it's what people do.
It looks like you're disrespecting the game. Yeah. It looks like you lack respect for the biggest golf tournament there.
So if he's wearing Arizona State and the letters are right side up, no disrespect. But because they're upside down, that's disrespect.
Yes.
Can I weigh in real quick?
Of course.
Because you said, like, if a writer doesn't wear pants, it doesn't make the writer less of a writer. I'd actually say that it makes the people around you take you less seriously, and by being taken less seriously, your reputation takes a hit. And if your reputation takes a hit, then you're not as good of a writer.
Get him, Callis. Get him.
Callis, you showed wearing ball shorts and a t-shirt tucked in your underwear.
They were not ball shorts, but do you take me seriously? No, you don't. And do I want to be taken seriously? No, not all the time. That's the nature of this job. We're on radio. Nobody can see me.
Yep. Callis has a point.
Yep. Yep.
And I think if you think less of me because I wear shorts, you're a dink. How about that?
Would you wear shorts on TV? Like, when if you had to do Final Word and you guys were standing up and not behind a desk, would you wear shorts?
No, you wear that stupid sports jacket and a shirt.
Wow. Wow.
And no hat. You don't wear a hat on TV.
Would you wear a t-shirt?
Mueller does.
Oh, would you?
Yes.
No, he wears a jacket over top of it.
Over the t-shirt, yeah.
Right.
And I wear shorts the nightly sports call.
There we go. Let's go.
But it's not. No, but you can't see the shorts. Camera. You can't see the shorts. Right, like, same
right.
Like Callis.
Right. I'm saying
the Sunday Showdown where it's from the feet up. I wear.
I think we're taking
pants,
sports.
Dress pants.
I think we're taking sports too seriously.
Then why do you not wear your WVU hat on TV?
Well, that would be
because you wear it here almost every day.
Right.
That would be the policy of the television station.
So
exactly.
Does it mean that I think that they're right? Oh, no. Guys are talking about football, and someone's wearing a West Virginia hat. Oh, holy hell. What an imbecile he must be. We must all wear suits and ties to talk about who the third baseman should be in Game 11 of the season.
Which is a regular hat.
WPXI is worried about their reputation taking a hit because of your WVU hat.
Sure. And I would totally disagree with that.
They want you to be taken more seriously.
Let me go watch a game at the bar wearing a full suit and tie because sports are so serious.
You're spitting, too. You're upset.
This is
spit.
Callis is coming out here
Let's
firing.
Let's all genuflect at the altar of sports. It's all so friggin' serious.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.